The following is a presentation from Lancaster Baptist Church and Pastor Paul Chappell.
So Acts 28, and we're going to begin reading now in verse number 1, and we'll just move right into the message after the scripture reading here tonight. And when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita, and the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us every one because of the present rain and because of the cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, "No doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he had escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live." And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Howbeit, they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly. But after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. How about that? From a murderer to a god in 60 seconds. That's the fickle nature of human beings, isn't it? And they said he's a god. Verse 7. And in the same quarters were possessions of the chief man of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and lodged us 3 days courteously. And it came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and of a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. So when this was done, others also which had diseases in the island came and were healed, who also honored us with many honors, and we departed, and they laded us with such things as were necessary. I speak tonight on the subject, responding to life's shipwrecks. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for the infallible Word of God that we can open it once again tonight. I just pray that tonight's message would give us some perspective and some encouragement as we are facing now a brand new year, and help us to learn some lessons from 2013 and especially from the Word of God tonight. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Most of us can remember back a few years to the most tragic of recent shipwrecks in human history, or in the last several decades, and that, of course, was the Costa Concordia. And many of you recall pictures like this one, as we were reminded of an Italian skipper who became a little bit full of himself, maybe a little bit full of alcohol, and decided that he would come between a small outcropping of rocks and the shores of Italy. The captain's name was Captain Schettino, and in that setting, bringing these thousands of passengers through this little strait, the unthinkable happened. And this ship, the Costa Concordia, scraped along the reef to the point that the ship began to take on water, and tragically, a series of mishaps began to unfold, not the least of which was that the captain would not admit for a full 45 minutes that the ship was going down. And even after he admitted that, he was derelict in his duties while 30 souls perished at his negligence. And many, many people were suffering in the waters and doing their best to get on these small craft and make it to safety. And finally, when the captain went over the other side of the ship to safety, he himself went to a hotel, asked for a warm pair of socks and a room for the night, and was not even participating in the rescue of these thousands of people who were struggling for survival in the Mediterranean that evening. And as we consider what took place that night, we have since learned that there have been many, many lessons that have been taught and brought to force in the navigational world. And there have been many embarrassed captains when they speak of this situation and how they should have called for the Coast Guard to come and help. And then, of course, we recently watched as this ship was righted, and it was a great engineering feat, and welded in the water so that it could be towed back to its home port. Many lessons have been written and are still being written from the catastrophe of the Costa Concordia. Now, many of you tonight would look back at 2013, and some of you might say it was a pretty good year. Some things went well, some things not so well. Some of you might say that 2013 was a shipwreck in this area or that area, or perhaps even in many different areas. And I have good news for you tonight. that our God specializes in taking difficult times of our life and leveraging those times so that we can have some of the greatest times of our lives, so that we can see the blessings and the benefit. Sometimes it's referred to as failing forward, that we can learn from the failures, the success of the shipwrecks and the difficulties of the past in order to have successes and blessing in the future. As we come to Acts 28, the Apostle Paul is on a journey, not a missionary journey. This was not a journey whereby he planned to go from city to city, but it was a journey from Caesarea to Rome, where he would stand before Caesar and where he would be placed under house arrest. He had been falsely accused in Jerusalem of being a troublemaker. We learn of that in Acts 26 and 27. And he appealed based upon the fact that he was a Roman citizen to the Roman centurion in Jerusalem, who brought him then to Caesarea, where he stood before first Festus and then King Agrippa. And he pleaded his Roman rights as a citizen. And ultimately, because of that citizenship, he was now being sent on a prison vessel, an Egyptian wheat ship, that would carry him from Caesarea Philippi all the way to the city of Rome, where he would have his Roman trial, if you will. As we read in the scriptures, the Bible tells us that as this journey was underway, he was traveling on this Egyptian wheat ship with many other prisoners, and a great storm arose. It is referred to in the scripture as Euroclydon, and it came upon them suddenly, and it caused the ship to veer off course and into the Isle of Malta. And it was there the Apostle Paul suffered this shipwreck on the Isle of Malta, which for many years has been a strategic outpost, if you will, on the Mediterranean. In the first century, it was ruled by Rome, but inhabited by Phoenician people. This was a strategic place during World War II for the British in keeping their gasoline and other supplies. It was a place that was fought over between Hitler and the British during World War II. It's always been kind of a strategic stopping off point for those traveling, even at this particular first century journey. But this was not a planned stop. It was a shipwreck indeed, and the Apostle Paul and all of the prisoners, in a very haphazard way, find themselves coming onto the shores of Malta. We read in the text that at first the people were very hospitable of the Apostle Paul. There was a fire that was made, there was a welcome that was given, but we also learn that after the Apostle Paul was snake-bitten, then trouble came into his life, and at first, while there was a welcome and a fire that was made, suddenly there was a further encumbrance or difficulty on his life by those who assumed that because the snake had bitten him, he must have been a real bad prisoner, or that would not have happened to him. Now, next week, we're going to begin, Lord willing, even tomorrow, if you haven't begun the process already, of making some resolutions, of thinking about the next year, the gift that it really is. And by the way, how many of you have lived long enough to know that every day is a gift from God? And this year is nothing more than a wrapped present being given to us by God. How many wonderful people were members of this church even 12 months ago who are now with the Lord? And they would not want to come back and be with us. They don't regret being with the Lord. But the Bible is very clear. Life is but a vapor. And so I encourage you to take time to set your goals and to set the priorities according to God's word and to do whatever it takes to make the most of this year for the glory of God. And I want to further encourage you that you would not ruin your future by living in your past. And I want to challenge you that may have had some shipwrecks along the way in 2013, that there are some things that can be learned from those times that would cause us to have smoother sailing in the days ahead. Now, when I think about the shipwreck and when I think about the isolation and some of the things the Apostle Paul experiences here in Acts 28, I really believe there are some parallels to the moments of life that come upon us. And I want you to think about some of those shipwreck parallels tonight. First of all, I believe every one of us experience a shipwreck when we feel alone. And the Apostle Paul no doubt felt this way. He was physically stranded. Imagine what he must have felt like on this island of Melita or Malta. 50 miles south of Sicily, 207 miles north of Libya. You might say at that time in the first century, in the middle of absolutely nowhere, here he was, a prisoner, now drenched with water, in a place that was unknown to him, cold, wet, and fatigued, possibly sometime around October, the storm season of that particular region when this type of storm would have come up. It was a tempestuous time weather-wise. It was a time when men were clinging to stakes and clinging to planks and somehow trying to make their way to the shore. And here he was, stranded and all alone. And I want to say that as a man of God at that moment, as the apostle of God, that it must have in many ways been a lonely feeling to be separate from the fellowship of the churches, the Christians at Jerusalem or Antioch and other places. And now to be in this outpost of an island in a cold, dreary season of weather, it was a time when no doubt the shipwreck had made him to feel very much alone, physically stranded. And sometimes in your life, sometimes in your relationships, sometimes you can be in a room surrounded by 1,000 people and still feel very alone in your heart. I think of Joseph, who experienced a time of loneliness when he was stranded in Egypt 300 miles from his family, and his own father thought he was dead, and there he was alone, completely alone in Egypt. But God was with Joseph. I think of Daniel being thrown in the lion's den. How many of you would agree with me? That would be a lonely, lonely feeling. But God was with him. I think of the 3 Hebrew children thrown into the fiery furnace and Nebuchadnezzar saying, crank it up. And Nebuchadnezzar looking into that fiery furnace and saying, I thought I put 3 men in there, but I see a 4th man and he is like unto the Son of God. God was with them. I think of David in the caves of Adullam, and I've stood in those caves and wet and dark and dreary, and he was hiding from Saul who wanted to take the life of David. And what a lonely feeling it must have been to have been God's anointed and to wonder, when is the time going to come and why is this happening? And yet there he was, alone in the cave. I think of Elijah alone in the desert running from Jezebel. I think of John the Baptist alone in a prison about to have his head taken off simply because he preached against the sins of the day and because of Herod's adultery. I think of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane alone because the disciples had fallen asleep. And I simply say to you tonight that many of the greatest in the Bible and the greatest of all in the Bible have had those times when they were all alone. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that he might not lay it to their charge. All men forsook me. Sometimes in life you'll have a season where it feels like you're on the shores of a destitute place, and it feels like maybe God forgot your address, and it feels like maybe nobody cares, and perhaps you've had some seasons like that in the past year. Here was the time when Paul was physically stranded. He was a prisoner of Rome, and we know from the scriptures that he was taken prisoner during this time, and he had done his best to minister to all of those that had come off this sunken vessel. And despite his trial, we read in the text that he is serving them, he is helping them, he's doing all that he can. The Bible says in Acts 23 and verse 11, and the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also in Rome. Paul understood this much. God had said he would get to Rome. And so that even though he was alone, God was with him, and God would bring him to Rome. I want you to understand tonight that when you feel alone, God is still with you. And God will bring you to your desired haven. And God will bring you along the way. You may appreciate it more because of the trials and because of the shipwrecks. But when you get to that desired haven, you'll be able to say, thank God he brought me to this place. Someone said, were it not for the valleys, we'd never appreciate the mountaintops. Were it not for the trials, were it not for the burdens, we'd never appreciate the times of blessing. When you feel alone, oftentimes we're reminded of our need for the presence of God. But notice the second thing that I believe the Apostle Paul would have felt here and that we sometimes feel. And that is when we have been hurt. When we have been hurt. Notice, if you would, in the scriptures here, that the Apostle Paul in verse number 3 says he gathered a bundle of sticks and he laid them on the fire. By the way, he was going through a storm, but he wasn't pouting. He was going through a storm, but he didn't say, "Forget it, I quit. This wasn't in the contract." No, he's helping to get firewood. He's doing his part. And notice the Bible says that in verse 3, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. Now, sometimes in life, when the storms come, there'll be a sense of loneliness. At other times, there's the deep sense of hurt and betrayal. And I think all of us need to recognize that that's a part of relationship and a part of the things we face in life. Perhaps you heard about the little girl, and she was driving along on her bicycle, riding along, and suddenly something smacked her in the back of the head, and she cried out. She said, "Mom," she said, "Joey hit me." And the mother said, "Sweetheart, Joey didn't hit you. Joey didn't hurt you. Joey's not even here. Joey went to the store with Dad." Little girl thought about it. She had a startled look on her face. She said, "You mean stuff like that can happen on its own at any time? What a bummer." Turned out a branch had hit her on the head. You know, the fact is, stuff happens on its own just about any time, doesn't it? And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, can come a trial, can come a hurt, can come a difficulty in your life. Look at how it happens for Paul. The Bible tells us he's just helping fix the fire. He's having a good attitude. He's pitching in. Apparently, in this pile of wood they were burning, there were some creatures inhabiting the pile of wood, and one of them was a viper. And when you read the word viper in the King James Bible, it's telling you a poisonous snake, not a gardener snake. Think rattlesnake, all right? A poisonous snake. And the Bible tells us he was bitten. And by the way, this was not a false production. He was truly bitten, and he did not swell, and he did not die. And this was common in the apostolic era. God would allow situations like this to happen, in particular with poisonous snakes, and there would be no harm and no life to authenticate the apostleship or the preaching or the message that was given. Look in your Bible for a moment to the book of Mark, chapter 16 and verse 17. It says in Mark 16, 17, "And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover." Now you read a verse like that, and there seems to be those who say, "Yeah, that's the way it ought to be. And we ought to be able to speak in tongues," and so forth. And the answer that I have to that is simply this. If one of those phenomena is for today, and the Bible is authoritative and infallible, then all of those phenomena have to be for today. Or else they have all passed away with the passing away of the apostolic age. You see, the book of Acts was a transitional book between the Old and the New Testament. God was allowing miraculous sign gifts to authenticate the message that His messengers were giving. And He said, there will be these signs. He said, there will be those who take up serpents, and there'll be those that drink deadly things. They will not be hurt. And there are some that try to carry this tradition on today. The snake handlers, for example, of Tennessee. We read of a church called the Church of God with Signs Following, founded by George Henley in 1880. And at the Dolly Pond Church of God with Signs Following, a man by the name of Lewis Ford a few years ago was handling snakes, took a number of snake bites, and lost his life. Wake Forest University reported that since 1990, there have been 80 people die in snake handling ceremonies who have been bitten by vipers and who have lost their lives. By the way, how many of you say, "Thank God that's not an ordinance for the church today"? Amen. But there are some who insist that it is. And the fact of the matter was that this was not, in this case, something that Paul was intentionally doing, but it was going to be something God allowed in order to prove His power in that man's life. And so we see that he's survived a storm. Now he's bitten by a venomous snake. And notice, though, secondly, he was bitten by the snake, this viper. And yet God has a purpose as well for this. God is going to show His miraculous power. And at first, He's going to find that people view Him as someone that was a murderer. But then they're going to see that nothing happened to Him. He didn't swell. He didn't die. And they begin to realize there's something special about this man. And the man's message is going to be heard because of the miracle that God was going to do. Now, folks, I hope you listened to the message tonight. I hope you came prayed up. I hope you're in tune tonight. I hope you get everything I'm going to preach, but I've got news for you. I'm not playing with rattlesnakes to get your attention. Okay? The only good snake's a dead snake. Amen? But God allowed this phenomenon to take place so that these men and women who at first thought he was bad would realize he was good. You know, sometimes in life, you're going to find that you're feeling all alone. And sometimes you're going to feel like a viper has latched right on you. You're going to feel hurt. And you're going to wonder, Lord, why'd you let that happen? And I want to remind you of Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and are the called according to his purpose. Paul could have said, Lord, why did you let that happen? Now I'm shipwrecked and I'm with these heathen Phoenicians and now there's a snake that's bitten and holding on to me. He was a man that had been alone and a man that was now hurt. But notice thirdly, sometimes when the shipwrecks come, you're going to feel unjustly treated. You're going to feel unjustly treated. Notice the Bible says in verse number 4, he escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live. Notice the barbarians amongst themselves, verse number 4, no doubt this man is a murderer. You know, it seems like when you've had a bad situation and then another bad situation, there's always the naysayer to stand around and say, yep, they deserved it. Yep, I knew that would happen to them. Yep, that's just the way they are, you know, it's just how things go and doesn't surprise me at all. You know, oftentimes, the devil likes to pour extra guilt on top of people who are going through a bad time. And here the Apostle Paul was unjustly treated by those at Malta. Let me just say, when you are unjustly treated, be careful how you respond. Reminds me of the story of a man that was just minding his own business and having a meal at a restaurant up in Nebraska. He's sitting there enjoying his meal and suddenly there comes into the restaurant three men. They rode up on these motorcycles. They were some type of motorcycle gang members. And they came in and they began to brutalize this other gentleman that was there having his meal. They hit him. They threw his food on him. They called him every kind of a name. And the man really didn't do anything. He just finally got up when they stopped messing with him. He went to the cash register. He paid his bill. And he walked out of the restaurant. And as he did, those motorcycle gang member said to the waitress, bring us our coffee. Said, that man's not much of a man at all. Why, he's just a wimp and not a man at all. And they were continuing to make fun of him. And the waitress said, you know, he may not be much of a man. I don't know much about that. But I can tell you this right now. He is not much of a truck driver. He just ran over three motorcycles in the parking lot. I want to tell you something. When someone harms you and wrongs you, you don't have to worry about getting even. God has a way of making wrongs right. God has a way of evening the score. And it's not up to us to even the score. It's up to us to give it to the Lord. Now, Paul in this passage is branded unjustly. And Satan has several lines of attack. Satan will oftentimes try to keep us from becoming a Christian. If he can't keep us from becoming a Christian, he'll try to keep us from being active in the work of the Lord. And if he can't keep us from being active, he'll try somehow to slander our character and cause something to be said and branding us unjustly. Matthew 5 and verse 11, Jesus spoke to this issue. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Here they said, this man is nothing but a murderer. And at times, as a faithful Christian, just doing your best, maybe you've had some trials, maybe you've had some things that have set you back, but now you're back in church, and now you're trying to do the best you can. There may be someone that says something that's hurtful. I just want to encourage you tonight, don't believe the lie of the devil. God loves you. His grace is sufficient. Last year is last year. Last year's shipwreck is last year's shipwreck. There is still a voyage that you can take to the glory of God if you'll stay with him. Don't believe the lies of the devil. D.L. Moody was sometimes so hated that he was called crazy Moody. Billy Sunday was a man who was so faithful in his preaching and faithful to preach evangelistic crusades and was greatly involved in prohibition and so forth, and yet he was accused of just preaching for the money. Charles Stanley, a Baptist pastor in Atlanta, in his book, The Source of My Strength, wrote, "I remember the night in church when after the sermon, a man came up to me and was yelling and cursing about the leadership of the church and struck me in the face." W.A. Criswell, an 84-year-old pastor, after 50 years of ministry, had a former staff member that came and began to pastor the church and referred to Criswell as a power-hungry tyrant and began to do everything he could to take every picture down and say everything against the man who'd been faithful. The stories go on and on. I just want to simply tell you, anybody that's going forward is going to have some friction in their life. Whether it was the Apostle Paul, whether it was D.L. Moody, whether it's a preacher of this generation, whether it's a church member, sometimes there will be those who will misread your intention and who will misjudge your character. All Paul was doing was trying to help build the fire for people that were cold. All he was doing was trying to be a help. And suddenly now, look, he must be the worst of the murderers, they said of him. But look what Paul did in verse number 5. "And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm." Would you read that with me? "And he shook off." May I say to you tonight, there may be some things that have taken place in your life in 2013 that, like a viper hanging on to you, you need to shake off tonight and go on to 2014. By the grace of God, you need to be able to say, in this situation, I feel very much alone, and I feel very much hurt, and I feel very much misunderstood. And you could take that snake and put it in a jar, and you could look at it every morning and relive your hurts and relive your loneliness. Or you could take that snake and shake it off and say, I've been alone, and I've been hurt, and I've been misunderstood. But by the grace of God, that's the past, and tomorrow's the future, and I'm going to shake this off and live for God in 2014, you see. That's what the Apostle Paul teaches us. He teaches us that there comes times in our lives when we feel lonely and we feel stranded and we feel branded, that we need to shake these things off and keep on keeping on for the Lord. Someone asked Michael Jordan about his great basketball career. He said, "I've missed more than 9,000 shots in my career. I've lost almost 300 games. On 26 occasions, I've been entrusted to take the game-winning shot and I've missed." He said, "I have failed over and over and over again in my life, and that is precisely why I succeed." And I want to say that many of us this past year could say, I failed in some areas of my Bible reading. I failed in some areas of my witness. I failed in being the husband or wife that I really wish I could have been. And sometimes those failures, like a viper, just hold on to us, and the devil would like to get all the bitterness and anger and defeat into your system that he possibly can. And some of you need to take last year's marital quarrels and last year's failures in giving and last year's failures in witnessing, and you need to shake it off and say, "By the grace of God, I will be faithful to him in the new year," you see. Paul could have sat on the shores of Malta roasting marshmallows and given up, and we would have never had the books of 1st and 2nd Timothy. We would have never had the great testimony of how God used him in Rome. We would have never known the wonderful epistles we refer to lovingly today as the prison epistles had he given up at Malta. Thank God he shook off that serpent. Thank God he kept on going. I'm telling you tonight, there's some children that stood on this platform. They need a mommy and a daddy tonight to shake off some of the things of the past and say, "By the grace of God, I'll keep on going for the Lord Jesus Christ." There ought to be some Sunday school teachers here tonight, and you say, "My fifth grade boys were a little rowdy this morning. My bus route was not the way I wished it would have been. And my Sunday school class didn't grow last year," some of you might say. And I understand, but you ought to say, "I'm going to shake that off and by the glory of God see a greater year in the new year." Oh, listen, don't dwell on the failures of the past. Dwell on the grace of the presence, the grace of the present with the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul was branded unjustly. He was branded unknowingly. These same people who called him a murderer a few verses later call him a god. They begin to laud him and praise him. And I want you to learn a little lesson from that. When we look to fellow human beings for affirmation, sometimes it's there, sometimes it's not. But may I remind you, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Jesus says in the book of Hebrews, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. Oh, how we ought to thank God for that tonight. I want to give you a final thought, a few thoughts on lessons you can learn from the shipwreck tonight. Just a little different type of message tonight, kind of clearing the decks for the new year. Some lessons we can learn in times of adversity. So if you want to take out a pencil for a few visit with the pastor thoughts, here we go. What are some takeaway lessons from Acts 28? Number one, lesson number one, trust God's word. Trust God's word. Now look, if you would, at chapter 9 for just a moment of this Acts chapter 9. And let me just show you something very quickly. And I want you to see it. And let's see, it's not here in Acts 9. Let me find the right verse here for you. And I want you to just make this note down, and I'll find the text here in a moment. The Apostle Paul, here it is, Acts 23, verse 11. Notice here what it says. And the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. Now, how many of you see in your Bibles, some of you have a red letter edition. I may have a red letter edition. Let me see. There you have the words of Jesus Christ. And when all of the tumult took place in Jerusalem, God gave a promise to him. And he said, Paul, I want you to know I'm going to take you to Rome. I've got people there that I want to hear my gospel. And so all during this shipwreck and all during this snake bite and all during this difficulty, Paul knew, because he had received from the Lord this message, that he would one day preach in Rome. I want to remind you, when the winds are howling and when the ship is crashing against the rocks, trust God's word. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy path. Many thoughts can come into our minds, many distracting thoughts, but we must come back to the word of God and keep our trust in the word of God. Lesson number two, keep on serving. Keep on going. When the Apostle Paul was snake bit, he just kept right on serving. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm about to say. Sometimes you might need to take a little time away from a class or from the choir, but most of the time that's not the case. God created us to serve him. And here we see a man who is shipwrecked. Here we see a man who is drenched. And what do we see? We see him still serving. Sometimes the best thing to do when your heart is heavy is just keep singing those hymns. I remember one time going through a difficult season of ministry. Many trials had come upon me in ministry and life. And I remember calling Dr. Gibbs and saying, Brother Gibbs, my heart is so heavy. It's sometimes hard to just get my thoughts out and sometimes hard to have meetings and do everything I'm supposed to do. And Brother Gibbs said to me, he said, Pastor, here's what I want you to do. I want you to sing those hymns when it's time to sing. And he said, I even want you to stand on your tippy toes and sing out to the Lord. And he said, I just want you to sing your way through and preach your way through. And you get in that pulpit and preach to yourself if you have to, and preach about how good God is and how strong God is and how great God is. And listen, I was just simple enough of a student to hear from a mentor. You know what I did? You may not have noticed it. I came back to church that next Sunday, and when we were singing, I was tipping up on my tippy toes a little bit, and I was saying, Wonderful Grace of Jesus, and singing out like that. And I preached a message about the goodness and the grace of God. There comes times when we perhaps need a vacation, we need some time off, but I've got to tell you, for the most part, what we dearly need is the grace of God in our lives. His grace is sufficient. And we just need to continue serving and being faithful. Paul said, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press unto the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And so let me encourage you from Acts 28 tonight, trust God's word. Trust God's word when the storm is blowing. And let me encourage you, secondly, keep on serving. Thirdly, let me say this, serve others. Serve others. Keep on serving. Similar thought. Paul was so busy serving others of his party and helping to build the fire that he didn't even stop when he was snake bit. He said, I'm just going to keep going. I'm going to keep serving. And you know, there's great joy in serving others. It's an amazing thing how just leading someone to Christ buoys your spirit. Just seeing someone come to church that you invited buoys your spirit. Just singing in the choir or seeing children grow in their faith, it'll buoy your spirit. Notice number four, let the Lord protect you. Let the Lord protect you. You know, I noticed something in this text when I was reading it, and I know these are simple devotional thoughts. But when they said to Paul, and when they said of Paul, well, look at him. He was bit by a venomous snake, and look at that. He is a murderer. Did you notice Paul never stopped to answer them? Paul didn't say, excuse me, I am not a murderer. I am Paul. I have been schooled in the schools of Gamaliel, the greatest of the teachers of my home. I am an apostle appointed personally by Jesus Christ. Who are you calling a murderer? That was not his response. You know what his response was? Hey, guys, let's put another log on the fire. Hey, let's gather together here. There might be some ministry opportunity coming here. You know, more often than not, when someone's doing this or something said that's hurtful, it's probably best just to keep doing what God wants you to do. Just keep praying. Just keep witnessing. Just keep on teaching your class. Just keep on being faithful. You may have even a spouse like Hosea did, who sometimes was so discouraging and oftentimes discouraging towards his ministry. You may have a friend, and let me tell you what, the devil would love it if you spent all of your energy arguing instead of testifying for Jesus Christ. Oh, listen, Paul just said, you know, I'm going to let the Lord protect me. Psalm 28 in verse 7, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise him. Hey, how about in the new year, let the Lord be your shield? How about when someone at work is making fun of you as a Christian? You don't always have to get a grievance and go get an attorney. You have the Lord as your shield, and trust in him. Number five, always remember that God is in control. God is in control. Would you turn briefly to Genesis chapter 50 for just a moment? One of my favorite passages, Genesis 50 verses 19 and 20. God was certainly in control in Acts 28. Let me remind you of that story that I mentioned a moment ago from the life of Joseph. Genesis chapter 50 and verse 19. Genesis 50 verse 19. Notice it says, Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? Remember the story? Now Joseph has revealed himself to his brothers, and they thought, whoa, we're about to die. And he said, don't worry, I'm not God. But then notice the next verse. But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now let's read verse 20 and just think about those words. Ready, begin. But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass as it is this day. There are times in your life when someone might mean it for evil and God turns it completely around for good. There are times in your life when you have a boss or you have a situation and boy, they're just going to put the screws to you and they mean it for evil. And you know what? God's still working even then. God is still in control. Any circumstances out of your control are in the sovereign plan of God. And God is working always, even when we don't understand, even when we don't see. Now someone says, I don't know, Pastor. If I'm shipwrecked and I'm sitting here with a bunch of heathen trying to make a fire when I'm sopping wet and a snake bites me, it's sure hard to remember those 5 points. You know, keep serving. God's in control. It's hard to remember things like that when your hand has been bitten by a viper. But look at what happened in Paul's life when he followed these 5 principles I've just shared with you. Notice as we close how this story ends. Verse 7. Going back to Acts 28, verse 7. In the same quarters were possessions of the chief man of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and lodged us 3 days, how? courteously. How many of you would say that's God? Here's a foreign prison ship, for heaven's sake. They don't know Paul or these prisoners from anybody else. And Paul could have thought, I'm done, it's over, I'm poisoned, I'm accused, I'm wet, I'm stranded, it's over. And that's exactly what the devil wants some of you to think. It's over. No. Not when God's in the equation. God had a man over here in this community named Publius. What a weird name. But I got to tell you, if he's going to give me warm clothes and some lentil soup, I don't care what his name is. And isn't it amazing? The Bible says that Publius treats him courteously. You know, it's one thing if Publius would have said, all right, look, you bunch of rascals, I don't even know if I can trust you. Stay in the barn, you know. But that does not seem to be what the scriptures indicate. This man was kind to them. You know, maybe you've been treated harshly this year. God loves you. And God has kindness in store for you. And oftentimes in those harsh moments, might be in a hospital where God just sends a friendly nurse by. It might be a friendly neighbor or church member. It might be a fellow school parent. It might be your Sunday school teacher. But I just want to tell you something. God has Publiuses everywhere. God has people like this everywhere. By the way, may we be like that this year. Here, Publius housed him. But now notice verse 8. And it came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and of a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. Not only was he housed courteously, but secondly, God gave him power to heal this man. No doubt there were people who came to Christ. The Maltese traced their Christian heritage right back to this text in the scripture. And I want you to recognize that God had all of the while, through the shipwreck, somebody that he wanted Paul to minister to. Do you ever wonder why sometimes you are where you're supposed to be? I don't know if you think that way, but I think many of you do. I was at the doctor's office this week and just having an appointment. It wasn't what I scheduled, wasn't what I wanted. I put that stuff off as long as I can. And I'm sitting in there and they're taking my blood pressure. And I had a gospel track and I said to the nurse, I said, have you ever been invited to Lancaster Baptist Church? She said, I've lived here for 37 years. Are you kidding? I get invited all the time. I said, well, now you're being invited personally from the pastor. I said, would you be my guest on the first Sunday of the new year? She said, I'll do my best. You know, I'm going to pray that she's here next Sunday. I don't believe God had me over there just to get my blood pressure. I believe God's always working. And Paul might have thought he was just shipwrecked and terrible situation, but God had him there for a reason. And God has allowed some things in 2013 for a reason. Publius housed him. God empowered him. And notice what the people do now. The Bible says in verse 9, so when this was done, others also which had diseases in the island came and were healed, who also honored us with many honors. And as we departed, they laded us with such things as were necessary. Hey, I believe Paul was glad he shook off that snake and kept his trust in the Lord. I believe Paul was glad he kept serving. He kept the right attitude. He kept trusting the Lord. I believe Paul was glad he never questioned the word of God. God was in control the entire time. God housed him. God fed him. God empowered him. And when it was time for him to leave, God gave him a whole bunch of stuff to eat on the way. I don't know what it was. It might have been beef jerky and M&Ms and sunflower seeds, I have no idea. But the Bible tells us here, they laded us with such things as are necessary. You know what I want to tell you tonight? God will take care of you. God will take care of you. You might feel like you're on the banks of a shipwrecked mess. God knows exactly where you are, and God will take care of you. And so as we close 2013, I give you this verse, Galatians 6:9. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Let's say it together. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. One more time. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season... Just the men. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season... If we faint not. Sometimes you're going to feel alone. Sometimes you're going to feel hurt. And sometimes you're going to feel falsely branded. And I encourage you, before 2014 begins, shake that off. Throw that snake in the fire and trust God that there's a Publius out there, there's a meal out there, there's a purpose for the trial. God has a purpose in mind, somebody that He wants you to minister to. God will take care of you. Simple lessons from a shipwreck. God is always in control. Let's stand together. Father, tonight we thank You that even when our life seems like a mess, and when it's cold and damp, and when we're lonely and struggling, even then You are at work, and even then You have a purpose. And Lord, I thank You that we can look back and see how the Apostle Paul was greatly used at Malta. And I pray that all of us will be able to look back on the trials and challenges of this life and say, they meant it for evil, but God meant it for good.